Bubble! Good evening and welcome to Burst of Bubble live on CamFM, a show where we discuss the weird and frivolous news of the past week. I'm Michael Quinteria.
Not that there's been any.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like a very short show today.
Very short show today.
I'm Michael Quinteria, and my normal co-host Chris is away today, so I'm joined by Rich Wareham.
Hello.
And James Howell.
Hello.
And yes, as has been mentioned, it's been a bit of a rubbish week for frivolous news. The news has been dominated by big stories. First, we had the royal wedding.
Yes.
Then we had Bin Laden.
And then there was an election, I believe.
Yeah, then there was an election.
A whole load of them.
I think it's really sort of bad form for all the powers that be to make all these serious and important things happen when actually we want frivolous and silly things to happen.
It's kind of messed up our plans slightly, but we're going to do the best to ignore all the momentous happenings of the past week and instead focus on those tiny minutiae.
Minutiae.
But yes, indeed. Normally, we look at the bottom of the barrel of news. But today, this week, I believe we've scrubbed the barrel clean from its bottom and started digging away towards the Australian news.
So, without further ado, and we're going to try and drag this out slightly, perhaps. We're going to move on to our first story of the week.
Oh, right. Our first story of the week, being comprised of 7 days, each of which are 24 hours long, approximately. Which are 24 hours long, approximately.
I think, spinning things out to fill the whole show, okay. Taking the mic like that, possibly not.
Okay.
But I did like how we had all three of us going. It was it would be an advertisement for not having stereo, I feel, given how badly
Can we read all the headlines in that fashion?
Okay.
Even though Rich can't see what any of them are.
I can see the last word of each headline, so I'll come into it. I think we should read the first headline out, James, while there's a minor technical happening in the studio.
Okay, our first headline is Blackpool Pleasure Beach Picnic Ban.
Perhaps we could go for more musical.
Okay.
Blackpool Pleasure Beach Picnic Ban.
How beautifully disharmonious.
Right.
Let's never do that again.
No, let's never ever do that again. I can actually feel the letters of complaint coming towards us right now.
I believe if Chris were here, he'd ask us to go back in time 20 seconds.
Yeah, Chris's solution to everything is to go back in time 20 seconds. You have to wonder whether it's just an excuse born from the fact he plays lots of computer games.
Maybe
he's used to having save points.
Maybe that's where he's gone.
Back in time 20 seconds.
Yeah.
The problem is he just accidentally lands on the button, meaning he's always back in time 20 seconds,
yeah.
Which is why we never see him now.
So viewers 20 seconds ago should be able to hear him arrive.
Absolutely. And he'll be shouting to Microsoft saying, let me speak. And we're oblivious to him because we're already 20 seconds in his subjective future.
Anyway, back to this first story.
Back to this story.
Yeah.
Yes.
We like to actually focus on the stories here, honestly.
Well, I can't see the story, so you have to let me... So give me the one paragraph summary of this Blackpool Pleasure Beach picnic ban.
Blackpool Pleasure Beach has banned picnics.
that's a pretty good summary. Yes. Why have they banned picnics? Is it because of the litter? Is it because they're just opposed to outdoors eating?
Do they not like
gingham mats that you put things on?
I think it's the health and safety. If you're trying to have a picnic on the Big Dipper thing.
Oh, yes.
There's gravy's going to go everywhere.
Exactly. You might have a pork pie accident.
Wasn't there a Jim Will Fix It where there were a load of scouts who actually... It was like... Wasn't it one of the first? It might have been the very first Jim Will Fix It.
Yeah, they got some scouts that said, "Dear Jim, our life ambition has been to eat our lunch on a roller coaster." And Jim said, "Well, okay. Here's the roller coaster. Here's your packed lunches. Let's film all these kids getting covered in secondhand food."
And thanks to the spoil sports at Blackpool, that will never happen again.
No more can you puncture your Capri Sun while going over the loop-de-loop.
Yeah.
No more can you chop into your pork pie while engaging in... What else do they have apart from roller coasters in Blackpool? They have the big tower, don't they?
One assumes there's a beach.
In the Pleasure Beach, there is no beach.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually just slightly away from the coast.
Is that an archaic meaning of the word pleasure? Is it like a prefix which means slightly away from? So when you have a pleasure palace, it's slightly away from the palace.
Yes.
And a pleasure dome is something slightly away from a dome.
Yeah, well, they're normally sort of geodesic.
Ah, yes.
Is that the definition of pleasure when it comes to domes? So we've got pleasure, enjoyment. Then they've got slightly further away, and also geodesic.
Yeah, it's actually a triply overloaded word. It's a doubly overloaded word. You know, fence space error there. Whoops. It's a doubly overloaded word.
Yes.
People who obviously can't see the studio know that James has just thrown his pen onto the table in disgust at that statement.
So. I have. People, of course, on the internet can see the studio through the webcam.
Oh, yes. If they go to www.camfm.co.uk, you mean?
Yes. If they were to perform such an action, and if they were to perform that action, they could send in messages telling us to get on with the show.
And that would be a brilliant thing to do. But anyway, back to the story.
There's a great line here from the park's website saying that allowances are made for guests with special dietary requirements.
Hang on. Okay, make your point.
So I was wondering whether, in fact, going on a roller coaster and eating while on a roller coaster is, in fact, a special dietary requirement. And therefore, I would love to see
the sort of doctor's note that says, little Timmy, I'm afraid he's got a very rare neurological disorder, which means he can only eat at -2 or +3 G. Mm. it's an odd phenomenon, but he'll starve unless he's subjected to G-forces on a regular occasion.
+2 G and -3 G. Mobile phones have spoilt the use of G as a measure of acceleration.
Goodness me, but we already have 25 more letters left. Damn you, Orange.
Why Orange?
Well, they're other than mobile phone networks available, but they're the one I happen to be on, so it's the one that's primary in my mind.
Oh, I thought it's just you saw the wall first thing that comes to mind.
Quite Orange, that's right. So where may people in Blackpool now partake of food that has not been bought in a chippy?
Anywhere other than the Pleasure Beach.
The crazy thing is, it's not actually all that big side to side. So, and even though it's not on the beach, there's a beach very, very close.
So the unpleasurable beach, the true beach, is still a picnic haven.
Yes.
In fact, you can sit there with your picnic blanket and your pork pies and your gravy, which you obviously use in picnics, and your selection of sandwiches, and taunt the people on the pleasure beach, going, aha, you may be having pleasure on your pleasure beach, but I'm having a picnic on my beach.
Yes, and Blackpool Zoo point out that they also allow picnics.
Oh, the Blackpool Zoo, the arch enemy of the pleasure beach.
Indeed.
The Blackpool Zoo sitting there rubbing their hands with glee, thinking, ah, we can get all of those myriad picnickers straight from the pleasure beach. But why is it, is it actually litter that they're objecting to?
Or
are they just killjoys?
I will quote, Pleasure Beach is experiencing a growing problem with visitors using our restaurant's tables to eat food they have brought in themselves.
It doesn't actually explain what the problem is, it just says it's a problem.
Yeah.
Does it say that we have to clean the tables a bit more? I think the
problem is they don't get enough money by people buying food
if
there.
If only there was some sort of... I mean, you take the approach... I mean, we had the story a long time ago about when there was a rat problem in Downing Street and they brought in a cat that could... You know, an animal that was well-suited for...
And then
rats.
They had a cat problem and brought in a dog.
Well, yes. And then in other things, situations... That, I mean, the Romans tried this. You know, they had certain problems and they brought in things like rabbits and things. So Blackpool Pleasure Beach has a problem where people have too many picnics. So you need to have an animal which is well-known for being able to steal picnics. So they just need to take Yogi Bear in.
Indeed,
really.
Just
so Yogi Bear at the Blackpool Pleasure Beach, they'll be fine. They'll steal all the picnic baskets. I mean, Yogi Bear's opinion on sort of rather overpriced hot dogs has not been stated fully. But I'm fairly sure that he'll prefer picnic baskets. So if you bring enough Yogi Bears in from Yellowstone... Is it
Yellowstone?
Then the problem will solve itself.
Mm.
And that's an ecological solution as well.
That's a very smart move.
It is convenient, as
he's smarter than the average bear.
Exactly.
I just like the image of there being checks for sandwiches. Apparently the admission staff are actually checking people's bags for illicit sandwiches.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Blackpool Pleasure Beach with a bag that just contains two things. One is a sandwich and the other one is a large black sphere with bomb written on it. And I got to see what actually gets confiscated. They go, yeah. Well, you can't. I'm going to check the large book of policy. Yeah, you can't bring a sandwich in.
You better move, hollow out the bomb, and store your sandwiches in it. Smuggle them through in advanced weaponry.
That would be exciting. And possibly have a decoy sandwich just in the bag that they can find. They go, ha, look, we found one sandwich. You can't possibly be harboring any more sandwiches. Mm.
What happens if it's not a sandwich? What if it's like a club, so it's not actually between two pieces of bread? Right. Is that really a sandwich? Would they take that as well?
Oh,
well,
I thought you meant like the biscuit.
Yeah. Oh, right. I thought you meant the crude weapon.
Wow, so club, a doubly overloaded word.
Indeed.
Just like pleasure.
Mm. And and penguin.
Mm. In fact, are all P words doubly overloaded? We haven't found
club's not a club. Don't start with P.
You make a very good point. Spelling was never my strong point.
Yeah, that's good, that's good.
But there you go.
It starts with a C, which rhymes with P.
Yes.
I think you're stretching
most
it a
letters
bit.
Do rhyme.
Not with each other.
They do.
Like X and Y.
One of the few pairs that doesn't rhyme.
Y and Z?
Another of the few pairs that doesn't rhyme.
Let's not go through all the pairs that doesn't rhyme. And just
A and R.
Another of the few pairs that don't rhyme.
Just admit you wrong.
If you can think of any more pairs, listeners, do send them in.
If we were to enumerate all possible pairs of letters, the majority rhyme.
Well, I know that at least one listener is going out there writing all possible pairs of letters right now and working out the ratio of rhyming to non-rhyming. And that before the end of the show, we'll have a definitive answer on the ratio of rhyme to non-rhyme letter pairs.
What they don't know is most calculators have a function to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they're not allowed in Cambridge University exams, though, those ones, are they?
That's true.
In case you're sitting in English literature exam or something.
Mm.
But
back to the story.
There's been a comment by a councillor, deputy Labour leader on the Blackpool Council. This was actually last week, so this was probably before the election.
Yeah, but, is he still on the council?
It doesn't say.
Alas.
I think this is...
We did some research.
Yeah. But he talks about how it's sad. It's not family-friendly policy, but there's just an unfortunate juxtaposition here. It's like, when our children were younger, we couldn't afford to eat in cafes and always had picnics. And now plenty of people in that position today. I would like the Pleasure Beach to reverse that decision.
The decision whereby we made all the families too poor to be able to eat in restaurants.
Yeah,
that was a horrific
decision
to make, wasn't it? Yes.
I certainly did not vote for that one.
But there you go. If you've got any comments on how to smuggle sandwiches into Blackpool Pleasure Beach, or whether you should have to smuggle sandwiches into Blackpool Pleasure Beach, you can email us.
I think it is mandatory.
Wear a vest with those cheese strings like strung together. Or a cheese string vest is what I meant to say. There,
if you've got any better suggestions than those in the studio, you can email them to studio@camfm.co.uk or via our website www.camfm.co.uk and using the web form there. And we'll be back after this short break. We apologise, we're having some slight technical difficulties here, which means that you're not going to get any jingles for the rest of the show, sadly. Hopefully this will be fixable and fixed shortly. That was Elbow with Leaders of the Free World. You're listening to Burst of a Bubble Live on ChemFM with me, Michael Quintero.
Me, Rich Wareham.
And me, James Howe.
And this is a show about the more unusual news stories from the past week. And we're now moving on to a set of stories about the food chain.
Yes, that's one of my favourite topics is the food chain, I have to say. It was about the only part of biology I ever understood. That and Bowman's capsules in the kidneys.
Bowman's capsules?
Bowman's capsules, yes. I believe they're a hook-shaped device which allows urine to be filtered properly.
There we go.
Educational and
Except we'll have a biologist write in and say I'm wrong. I mean, this is from GCSE biology, so it was a fair few years
ago. Well, I think people are revising for their GCSEs at the moment.
Oh, so that's useful. So perhaps they'll be sitting in an exam and my voice will come to them, very much like Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
Instead of use the force, I'll say, remember the Bowman's capsules.
But there we go. That's our little factoid, which may or may not be a fact, so it's possibly just an oid.
But, factoid. Something which has got all the shape of a fact,
yeah.
But not necessarily any of the properties.
Wow, we like defining things. So, moving on to the actual news story. The National Trust have created a slightly unusual online initiative called My Farm, which has been inspired by that Facebook game, which has been gaining fame and fortune for its creators across, well, at least this country. I don't know what it's
called. And America as
well. And America as well, across the world.
It's the favourite of all mums across the nation.
Fartsville.
That's Bejeweled
true.
Are the two the main things that mums seem to do with their life, I think.
So apart from the whole having kids.
Well, okay, I wouldn't like to sort of say that mother's function in life is threefold, to play Farmville, to play Bedouled, and to have children.
It's a doubly overloaded function.
It is a doubly overloaded function, but it does sound somewhat, it has that sort of feel of misogyny about it. I can't quite place how, but there we are.
Never mind.
But moving on to the actual
story. So how does my farm differ from Farmville?
Well, firstly, you have to hand over £30 to participate in this game.
I would have said that's not the major difference. The major difference is this is an actual farm.
I was building up to this.
Because Farmville, you have to fork out... Well, you don't have to fork out some money, but you always end up doing, because it seems so much more sensible. You know, you could work for 50 million years and get 3 credits or whatever it is, or you can pay 20 quid and get all the credits in the world. But anyway, go on. So it's actually a real farm.
Yeah. Wimpole Farm, which I think is just down the road.
It is.
Just
a great place, is it?
Yeah.
Local news. Which is rare, because normally we go for like really international news stories.
And yeah, it's like Grand Canyon or Australia.
Yeah, that was last week. Now we decided to look closer to home for this week.
Okay, so it's a real... But I don't understand how this works. So it's a real farm. Yeah. Presumably this is not simulated by some flash plug-in to Facebook, right? This is actually... There's like a webcam or something? I mean, do you vote for who's going to milk the cows when?
Do
you milk via some sort of virtual interface?
I think it's... basically, online farmers get to pick once a month
Once a week, they vote on every key decision taken on the farm's cattle, pigs, sheep, and crops.
But you just pick what's the farmer going to grow? What's he going to do?
What does he mean by key decision? I mean, is it like, shall we feed the pigs this week? Yes, no. Then all the same sort of people who vote Rick Astley for every online poll ever. Let's get the let the cows die.
We've got some examples. Should I make bread wheat or biscuit wheat?
Is there a strong difference?
I have no idea.
I didn't realise that. Okay, it has in fact almost succeeded its aim purely by virtue of this news article, because it's enlightened me as to the difference between bread-making wheat and biscuit wheat.
Though I would say, given that none of us here know the difference, and probably none of the people who'd play this would know the difference, perhaps they should leave these decisions to someone who has some experience of farming.
Surely that's part of the point, that people... get given information as part of this, I assume. It's
perhaps
not just like
a transfer of information, though, because obviously we don't know that there is bread, wheat, and biscuit wheat, but perhaps farmers don't know that people like biscuits more than bread.
Right.
Well, another suggestion is that in the future there'll be a smartphone app which will allow Mr. Morris, to get near instant decisions from the online farmers. For example, if there's wheat in the field that's ripe and it rains in the morning, so it's damp, do we risk rating and losing some of the crop, or harvesting it now and incurring some extra drying costs? You too, for the small sum of £30, can make these decisions.
I actually think this might, in a few months' time, be a source of another humorous news story where people are actually having stress attacks about this sort of thing. I mean,
I think Mr. Morris probably will.
But then Mr. Morris is getting the 30 quid from all these people who sign in. All these people who sign in are living the life of Mr. Morris. And I know how het up people get about computer games and Farmville. You know, and when people's pigs die in Farmville, well, they don't die. Nothing dies in Farmville. Things just wander off, I think. But when the people's pigs wander off in Farmville, they get really stressed. And if they feel personally responsible for having the wheat be rained on, I think there are people who are going to be ridiculously stressed.
I don't think you get to control the weather. I just think you get to make decisions given the existing
weather. The server admins do that, do they?
Yes.
But it sounds like the sort of thing where actually I would not be surprised if in 3 or 4 months' time we have another story where people are just overstressed about this. It becomes a massive success and people start living their life, hitting the refresh button, like saying, oh God, when's the week going to go in? And what they're doing is they're spending £30 sitting in their chairs at home, having all the stress and all the worry about being a farmer without any of the healthy outdoor living.
Yeah.
So very much like World of Warcraft, where you have all the stress of being a night elf, whereas none of the actual healthy outdoor living. Doesn't really work as an analogy, does it?
No.
But on the other hand, your 30 quid does allow you to go and visit the farm. That's one of the perks.
Well, that's
included.
Even worse, though. I mean, surely if you visit the farm, you sit there and go, oh, my God, there's something going wrong. But I can't do anything. I'm at the farm. That's not the place I can do things. I can do things by being back at home and typing on my keyboard.
It does say the farm has poor network signal.
There we are, you see. I mean, you have a problem, you have a crisis that develops while you're visiting the farm, and you can do nothing, literally nothing, until you get back and start typing.
There's a hungry pig right in front of you, and you can't do a thing about it until you go home and vote that you feed the pig.
Exactly. And Mr. Morris is sitting there cackling with glee because he sees your little pain.
I like to think that if you're actually visiting there, there'll be some sort of system for you to, like, go anti-technological and just, like, make a cross...
Or perhaps just some sort of cyber cafe would be a better idea.
Yeah.
That could bring in extra money as well.
Because allowing the people to interact directly with the farm would be really good. So, yeah, a cyber cafe or a voting system while you're there would be awesome.
So, possibly, what if there's, like, a limited resource? So you've only got a certain amount of food. I mean, how do you just choose which animals to feed? I mean, do you just, like...
The hungry ones.
Put a cross next to the animal you want to feed, or do you rank the animals in order of preference?
Yeah, that's true.
Perhaps you should have a meta vote about the voting system used to work out which animals to feed.
Well, this system hasn't even got underway yet, so it'll have to wait for next term, I think.
I like the fact that one of the people involved said, "The fee is where the comparison with Farmville falls on its cow-like bottom."
What would you mean the comparison? Farmville has hidden fees all the way through it. That's how they make their money. They extort money out of people. Disclaimer, they do not extort money.
I have no experience of Farmville. I do not wish to. And I would not be surprised if this venture just results in quite a bankrupt farm.
I knew someone who will remain nameless, but they were very into Farmville. And so much so, they created a large number of sock puppet Facebook accounts so that those sock puppet Facebook accounts could also have Farmville, find various animals in their fields and give them to the original person. So this original person would have all these rare and exciting animals. This made someone spend their time maintaining 30 or 40 Facebook accounts complete with false profiles and pictures so Facebook wouldn't shut them down, just so that they could get these animals. And I kid you not, this is a true thing.
That's astounding.
Isn't it just astounding? I mean, are you going to have that with the National Trust? Are we going to have lots of people who take out absolutely fake sock puppet National Trust membership? So
people setting up fake farms all over the country.
All over the country so that they can find food and give it to Mr. Morris and saying, yes, one of my friends happened to have this food for you, Mr. Morris.
The whole point behind this is apparently to reconnect people between where the food that ends up on their plate and where it comes from.
No, the real way to do that would have a live webcam in the abattoir. That would be the real way to do it.
Yeah. Or live people.
Or live people, yeah. For a while.
The National Trust had a poll done which showed that only 8% of mothers feel confident talking to their children about where their food comes from. Apparently that's really poignant. I'm not sure that's... I don't think that's...
Well, isn't that just because they
keep using that word. I don't think it means what they think it means.
Isn't that just because, like, 92% of mothers go to Iceland and they're not very comfortable about admitting that to their...
Mums do go to
they're
Iceland.
They're not very comfortable about admitting that to their children.
Come on, it's going to be a hard conversation to have if, like, face-to-face with your little kid and they've grown up on, like, cartoons with cute anthropomorphized animals.
If it's the animals of Farthing Wood, they've grown up with death animals.
That's
every single week.
Make people watch Animals of Farthing Wood and then
they'll get it.
Get into it gently.
That's the alternative to my farm, the Animals of Farthing Wood.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually a meta game in Animals of Farthing Wood. You try and work out which one's going to die this week. It's often quite simple. Like when there's a big episode about them having to cross a road, you're fairly sure the hedgehogs are a goner. But sometimes they can just throw it out of left field. Like the mice will just fall off a cliff, and you won't see that coming.
That's not very realistic because mice bounce quite well.
Aren't mice are sort of they're exactly the right body size that they can never reach a deadly terminal velocity?
The mice
that's actually not realistic at all, the mice falling off the cliff episode. I mean, I'm agreeing with you.
What if it's very spiky at the bottom?
The mice ran off into a pit of spikes.
That might just be
a little bit sadistic on the point of view of the animals are falling.
It might be a really sharp hedgerow.
Okay.
Those fawns can be vicious.
The fawns can be vicious. They've got quite a kick.
Fawns.
Or perhaps it was a fairly normally spiky hedgehog, but Ada just picks up one of the mice and hurls it with all her might at the...
Or they land on the corpse of hedgehog.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
That would be an irony, wouldn't it?
But moving back...
In the American sense of the word irony, which means something a bit weird.
But moving back into...
A thing that happens sometimes.
But moving back into this conversation, it's like, how would you actually do that?
Kill a hedgehog?
No! How would you have that conversation with your kid? It's kind of like an earlier pre-run for any future awkward conversations you might have with your kid.
I think you just say, well, we grow animals and we kill them. If you want to eat meat, that's the way it goes.
Have some
If you don't want to eat meat, then learn how to cook.
has some diagrams showing like the bits of the chicken, the bits of the cow, all cut separated into the different cuts of beef.
Yeah, they're really interesting diagrams.
I mean, the way I sort of view this is that either the kid is old enough to fend for themselves and cook for themselves if they don't like the idea of eating meat, in which case that's fine because then you don't have to do any work, or they're not, and in which case, you know, a couple of days without food and they'll soon start to like burgers again.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
There you go. Moving on to other foodstuffs, we've got another food-related story which has, on the Guardian website, a great alliterative headline.
I think yes, James is going to read this, I believe, because he's the most erudite of all of us.
Everybody else is wussed out. Best in dough. French bakers battle to bag best baguette bounty.
Well done. And the techno remix of that will be hitting the shelves soon.
Sure it will.
Best baguette bounty.
Yes, now...
But it won't sound like that, though.
No, it won't sound,
sound more exciting, yeah.
Yeah, this is a... in France... As the French are wont to do, they've had
a
baguette cooking competition.
It's a national pastime in France, isn't it? And they're wearing stripy vests and putting garlic around their head as well, and all these other French stereotypes. Anyway, yes, what's the actual story?
That is the actual story.
Well, they've actually had a baguette cooking competition.
There's a baguette cooking competition in Paris.
Is the size of baguettes as important as quality?
Yes. There are all kinds of rules.
You can get disqualified for making your baguette too big.
Is that just trying to sort of make it look too exciting?
And salt content, there's strict rules on that as well.
And weight as well.
Is it going to be like Formula One, though, where there's so many rules about the valid baguettes that in actual fact all the baguettes are chemically and size-wise and in every way totally identical? And in fact, the only thing which distinguishes one baguette from the other is its driver. Which is where the analogy breaks down, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd like to point out that this article seems to contain a slight maths problem in that someone said that each year a third of baguettes are disqualified, usually because they are too heavy and too long. And then later on down it says 174 baguettes were entered for the prize, with 38 disqualified. That's nowhere near a third.
Well, perhaps this year everyone was particularly careful to make sure they weren't disqualified.
They've also, for some reason, pointed out that among the 15 judges was a fromager.
Wow. Fromager.
A fromager.
Fromager. It's spelt fromager, it said fromager.
It says fromager right there.
Yeah, it's someone who fromages.
Yep.
And they've got six Parisians chosen randomly after they entered a lottery. It's like their equivalent of jury service. It's like we selected six random of your peers, people who liked bread enough to enter this competition, and they judge you.
Talking about stupid competitions, and this is a little bit of a segue, I'm sorry, but has anyone actually seen Don't Scare the Hare on television?
No.
It's before Doctor Who. It's bizarre.
I realised today...
Now, given no other information, I'm just going to try to extrapolate here.
Go for it.
Is it a game where... you have to perform tasks that would create a lot of noise in front of a large rabbit-like creature?
Yes, it is.
If by creature you mean animatronic construction, yes.
Oh, not a real one.
No, and there's a selection of... Well, you see, this is actually the crux of my problem. I found out what was the problem with it I had, particularly, which was there are a large number of carrot-related games and carrot-related prizes.
Right.
But it's rabbits that like carrots and not hares. So, in actual fact, the entire premise of the show appears to be founded on a basic misunderstanding between hares and rabbits.
To be honest,
which is probably back to our not being in contact with the concept of wildlife.
To be honest, I think it sounds as if the whole concept of the show is based on the fact that it rhymes.
Yeah.
Don't habit the rabbit?
Yeah, don't inhabit the rabbit.
Yeah, that's the Channel 5 version. We don't get onto that.
But don't habit the rabbit. Don't turn rabbits into monks.
Perhaps they just sat down one day with a large thesaurus for scare and a large copy of Richard Scarry's Animals.
A thesaurus for scare?
A thesaurus entry for scare. Or to a fear.
Because if they're looking at thesaurus for scare, why would they use the word scare?
Well, perhaps they just thought they would use the trivial identity transform on scare. There we go.
Perhaps you mean rhyming dictionary.
I didn't mean a thesaurus. Like, they start with all possible lists of animals and all possible lists of alternative meanings for the words be afraid or to worry or to...
See, I strongly suspect they, in fact, just have a computer churning out all pairs of words. Whenever any of them rhyme, they make it into a television show.
Don't pair the hair.
So was it, was
thank
this
you, Michael.
Was this an extension from the computer program that churns out all possible pairs of letters to work out when they rhyme?
Because once you've done that, it's trivial to extend it to words.
Yes, I can see how this works. Yes, yeah,
but moving swiftly back towards the actual news rather than
moving swiftly to where we started.
Well, that's what Formula One's about, isn't it? If we mentioned
that's
that
true.
Before.
That's true. Whereas baguette competitions are famously not about moving swiftly back to where one started.
Well, once you've made the bread, you then eat it, and then you have no bread.
Is this going to turn into some sort of circle of life style analogy here, that it all goes back to the start?
Yes. Hello, and welcome to Burst the Bubble.
Oh, no. No, we've got through half an hour already. Don't make us do it again. Who won it this year? Do we know?
A Frenchman.
Wow. It's a bit like how we used to dominate darts, presumably. No, unfair advantage.
But it's Pascal Barillon from Montmartre.
Wow.
And won the best baguette in the arcade.
Batman has got the Frenchest name in the world.
and the prize is, as of Wednesday, he will be Carla Brunley Sarkovy's official supplier of baguettes.
Of baguettes. Hey. You know what I mean.
Yes. But, that one of the previous last year's winner actually came to France from Senegal at the age of 6 and fell in love with bread because his father set up a boulangerie. So it is actually truly international.
That sounds it could be a brilliant independent French film.
Yeah,
the boy who came over age 6 to France and suddenly developed a dream to be a master boulangerer.
I kind of approve of people trying to
evil
better themselves.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that through baguettes is how to do it, but.
Well, now that's just being purgative against people who make baguettes, isn't it, really? I mean, perhaps your one skill is to be able to make a really good baguette. You want to be able to shine in your chosen endeavour. I mean, the world needs many sorts of people. It needs, you know, doctors, nurses, scientists, musicians, artists, and boulangerers. And he's just a boulangerer. Not just, he is a boulangerer.
Sounding more and more like some sort of independent film.
Yes, yeah, it could even be called The Boulangerer. I don't even know if the boulanger is a real word now, but I've said it so often that I've actually convinced myself it is.
I think it is.
I mean, if fromager is a word, then boulanger is going to be a word.
Yeah.
But if you believe or don't believe that boulanger is a word and can provide us with any information in that direction, or if you'd like to comment on any of the stories we've talked about so far, you can email us studio@camfm.co.uk or via the website www.camfm.co.uk. And we'll be back with some more frivolous news after this short musical interlude. That was The Kooks with She Moves in Her Own Way. You're listening to Burst the Bubble on ChemFN, sans jingle because of some technical difficulties. I'm Michael Quinteria. I'm joined by Dr. Rich Wareham.
Hello.
And James Howe.
Hello.
And this is a show about unusual news. So we're going to go back to trying to be educational slightly and talk science.
Yes, science. Exciting science. Particularly general relativity. I believe this is what this particular science is, isn't it?
Yes. You sound so enthusiastic about the science.
Well, it's definitely not special relativity, and since I assume there's only two forms of relativity, it must be the general one.
Well, there are three.
Are there?
Classical relativity.
Oh, classical relativity, yes. And rather, you know, unexciting relativity, I suppose, which is classical mechanics.
Aha. Oh, we have, in fact, just had a couple of emails, which I'd like to read out before we get deep into the maths.
Okay, I shall put my pen and paper down.
We've had some suggestions We've had some suggestions for alternatives to Don't Scare the Hare.
Oh, brilliant.
We've
let me hear them.
Don't Shock the Brock.
Like that one.
Or Don't Start the Heart.
Don't Start the Heart.
Don't Start the Heart to me also sounds a little bit... Don't Start the Heart also sounds to me kind of like, don't bring Tony Hart.
Don't bring him back to life. a game show where you have Tony Hart's corpse in a coffin with a resuscitation device, and you have to answer questions to make sure you don't bring this loved icon of children's TV back to life for us all.
That works on so many levels. You can call Don't Start Hart's Heart.
Oh, God, yes.
I think we're all bad people.
Have a heart, Don't Start Hart's Heart.
Yes. And also, Don't Badger the Badger.
Oh, I like that. They singly overloaded word there.
Yes.
Well, so it might cause confusion, apparently, is a suggestion of this listener who has unhelpfully failed to include their name in their email.
They have, however, I want to see their working, but they claim that they've enumerated all 325 possible pairs of letters.
What? There's more than 325, surely.
That's what I thought, and apparently of those, only 33 rhyme.
Wait, hang on, there's 26 times 26, isn't there? What's that?
That's
26 squared? Yeah, everyone's best friends. Well,
25 squared is 325, isn't it? No, that's nonsense. Well, that's nonsense at all.
26 times 10 is 260.
20 is 500.
Yeah, it's going to be at least 520 something.
Yeah, so as you've not shown you're working, we can't give you any marks for that.
Yeah, unless you've taken all pairs which don't repeat.
Ah, yes, because...
But they've then gone on to suggest don't badger the badger, so clearly they're not playing by that rule.
Yeah. So, in fact, that's a good point, actually, because he would be... If order didn't matter, then you would get significantly fewer than 26 squared. Hmm. So, well done, listener.
You get half as many, surely. Because you double count every single...
No!
Except this is
not how combinatronics works.
You would double count A, B, and B, A, but you only single count AA.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't counting AA at all. I was doing 26 times
25. See, we're not showing our working now.
I was doing 26 times 25 and then halving it.
Oh, I see. And then adding 26 to the end of it for the AAs.
That works. That gives you 325.
Well, there we are. I'm sorry, listener. I'm sorry we ever doubted you.
I still doubt you.
Live on air combinatrics. That's
That's why we like in this show. We've had a bit of philosophy in the past, and now we've had a combinatrix.
Well,
so
I still doubt him because he disagrees with me.
What's
the ratio that listener says it is then?
It's just slightly over 1 in 10.
Well, that's not too bad. I'd say if you got slightly over 1 in 10 chance of this happening, I'd still wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, moving on from the maths to the other maths that we had kind of away from to start with that maths.
Well, this math sounds cooler, though, because it involves a gravity probe.
Yeah.
And anything which ends with the word probe is automatically cool.
Yeah.
It's gravity probe B, specifically, which I'm not sure what happened to gravity probe A.
Oh, it was too heavy, I think.
Yeah.
Well, no,
couldn't get off the ground.
Effectively, what this is a spaceship with some very, 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 very spherical balls in it.
Stop giggling.
And this is a radio show with some very, 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 very immature guests.
I spontaneously remembered a joke I heard once. Anyway, right. These very spherical balls. What is this trying to actually... do this probe?
It is trying to prove. Well, you can't prove that that Einstein's general relativity is correct, but it's trying to add to the evidence or disprove Einstein's general relativity.
And what does what is it particularly measuring? And what does Einstein say we should measure? Because I assume I know nothing about general relativity, which I think is a fair assumption to make for a random person in the street.
Effectively, gravity bends space and time.
I've seen that on Star Trek.
No, that's the mask bends space and time, and the bending of space and time is gravity.
Yes, yeah, sorry. You know, I was so excited, I was just going to try and condense it down to the fewest words that I can and inadvertently lied.
It's called lies to children, it happens all the time. Yeah. Right, okay, so mass, which is like lumps of stuff, make space go wibbly wobbly.
Yep,
all wibbly wobbly.
And drags it. There's a little analogy in this Guardian article. The Earth, as it rotates, drags space-time with it, which is called frame dragging, and the effect is like spinning a spoon in a cup of tea, causing the liquid to start swirling round inside the cup.
Right, I think I understand tea. So, space and time should somehow become wibbly-wobbly, and how do balls help us work out how wibbly-wobbly time is?
Well, they rotate slightly differently.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
Identical balls?
Yes.
Yes.
Let me make sure I get this right. This probe has been sent out into space, has flown around the Earth, spinning its balls, found they'd spin slightly weirdly, and then they went back to Earth and they said, well, how does Einstein say they should have spin? It's just the same. Is that the story?
Yes, that is the story.
Yeah. Except, there we are. Ladies and gentlemen.
Except it cost £500 million.
Well, it was an important question.
£500 million to put couple of balls in space.
They are apparently the most round objects that humans have created ever.
That's quite impressive.
So there we go. That's the wonder of science.
So we created these incredibly round objects, flew them into space, spun them. They behaved exactly as we expected, and this cost £500 million.
Yep.
That's science for you. And I wonder why it is that, you know, I can't get funding to do a little bit of science that doesn't involve making balls, just involves doing a little bit of maths. Wouldn't cost anything more than anything like £500 million, but no.
Why do you need funding for it if it doesn't cost anything?
Well, I need it. So I'm in the oft-told thing is I'm in the engineering department. So in my particular field of engineering, all we need is a pencil, some paper, and a waste bin. And in maths department, they don't even need the waste bin.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That's I think that's enough education for one segment. Let's move on.
So having educated our entire listenership about general relativity.
Oh, hang on a minute. Our next story is slightly educational as well.
Oh no.
Sorry. Goodness, yeah. However, this one I believe
is
funnier.
The Open University.
This one is funnier.
How can anything be more funny than the warping of space and time?
I was going to say, how can anything be more funny than two perfectly spherical balls?
James, honestly, well, you are talking about dragging space and time. You're dragging this show well and truly down the gutter. That's what you're doing here. So if we elevate it, what's our educational story, Michael?
It's a list of things that you possibly don't want to do if you have high blood pressure that might trigger a stroke. But the funny thing isn't so much the stroke triggering, so much as the fact that you could probably have guessed all of these because they raise your blood pressure.
So yeah. It's possibly smiling and complimenting one of the things that might trigger a stroke, or being very nice and saying, you look lovely, or possibly buying someone dinner.
No, none of those things.
Oh, wait, we're talking about the sort of thing where you get blood cut off to the brain, not where someone takes their hand and gently runs it across your skin.
Yes.
One of these overloaded words again. It's horrific, again. Isn't it? There's so many of them, aren't there, in the English language?
Oh, dear. Yeah.
So what could trigger a stroke?
Drinking coffee.
Right. Well, I've done that twice today.
Hard exercise.
I've done that once today.
Nose blowing.
I've done that half today. I've blown a nostril.
That's interesting.
Drinking cola.
I've not done that at all today.
And being startled or angry.
Well, so far I haven't, but no one shout boo.
Okay. So basically, in order to not have a stroke, you've got to avoid caffeine.
Right,
I'm assuming it's a link between coffee and cola.
Right, yeah.
Avoid hard exercise and being surprised. So you've got to be dead. You've got to have a boring life.
Avoid being surprised. Well, no, if you have a boring life, you won't be expecting most things. If they happen, you'll be even more surprised.
So what you have to do is you have to have a constant level of marginal excitement.
Or just do really extreme stuff so nothing ever surprises you.
No, yes, that would also work.
Immerse yourself in extremities.
But wouldn't that count as the hard exercise?
Didn't it say that it's actually, if you increase your blood pressure, it's a problem? So if you maintain your blood pressure at a high level all the time, then the only thing you can do is decrease your blood pressure, which must be good, right?
I think that's probably true. I mean, if you're the doctor.
Exactly, I'm a doctor, and that sounds sensible to me. If the what causes strokes is increasing blood pressure, then to keep your blood pressure high, then it can only decrease, or you explode.
Well, I think...
At least you go out in an exciting way, just like exploding like a huge bag of blood.
Not to alarm anybody, but we've sort of omitted the crucial trigger of a stroke, is that you have to have a brain aneurysm first.
How do you get one of those? Which
is possibly due to some of these activities.
No. So you have a brain aneurysm, and then a rise in blood pressure causes it to burst.
Ah, okay.
So the bubble has been burst.
Yes.
Oh, just like
please,
this show.
Please do not link the show to having a stroke.
It's just an overloaded title. That's all I'm talking about.
It's true.
It just happens, something like that.
So there's a list of things which you might have thought of as obvious, but now it's been scientifically proven.
So what level of exercise is good for you then?
Oh, it's
is it going to be like one of these things where you're not supposed to have a bottle of red wine, but having a glass is actually beneficial? You're not supposed to have massive amounts of hard exercise, but a little bit of activity every day is quite good.
I think crucially, having exercise just will lead to if you do it often, you'll have lower blood pressure in general. So
sudden exercise would be both an increase in blood pressure and surprising. You have to maintain a level of exercise so your blood pressure goes down.
Presumably it's surprising to everyone else, but not you. It's not like you surprise yourself by suddenly lifting some weights.
It's like secondhand smoking. You're putting others in danger as well.
Right, I see. So not only are you endangering yourself, you're endangering all those around you. They should have public information films. You know, like those films where they show children breathing in smoke from all the people there. Should have people doing exercise and all these people suddenly spontaneously having their brains explode.
And blowing your nose is a danger as well, which is a really bad one, because I'm sure there are kids who've wound up other kids by telling them that when you sneeze, it's your brain falling out.
I saw a horrible device. Sorry, go on. You just want to complete your story.
No, I'm intrigued now.
It was something that I actually saw this in Boots, and okay, I'm not kidding. This actually exists, and it's for mothers, or possibly fathers, or primary caregivers, anyway, of small children who find it very hard to blow their nose. And it is a small tube with a little sort of nodule at one end that goes up the nose of the child in question, and a suction pipe at the other, so you can suck the bags off.
Oh,
I know, I know, and it exists. And there's a little cartoon picture of it being used on the box.
Oh, no.
It's so horrifically horrible. That's in what I like to call the dark section of boots.
Yeah.
That you only go into if you've got a strong stomach.
Some of the top shelf stuff.
Yeah, some of that really hard stuff.
Oh, but we've had another email from someone who has now actually given her name, Sonia. Hello, Sonia.
Hello, Sonia. Lovely name.
Providing working.
Okay, hang on. Print this out. I'm going to need a red pen and have to go over this.
Is Sonia's working appropriate?
It's a B, C, D, E, G, P, T, and V rhyme, totaling 28 unique rhyming pairs. Then right. I and Y form of pair, J and K form of pair, and Q, U, and W form a triplet, totaling 33 pairs overall.
She's A and K.
She
missed some out already.
Oh, you missed that.
Hey, just starting from the beginning of the alphabet, I've found ones you've missed.
Well, there we are. You don't have to gloat over it. It's a small error. He has actually taken a red pen out, listeners, and written on the screen, which I'm sure is going to enjoy the Camofen people tremendously.
You found another two.
Yes.
There.
And
35.
I've disproved the theorem. We can say no more about it.
It's what you've basically done on a very small scale, what the massive balls were doing.
Yes.
You were testing the theorem, and in this case, you found Einstein was wrong.
Sonia. I'm a microcosm of massive balls.
You are indeed.
So there you go.
But if you'd like to send a corrected one in, Sonia, that would be lovely.
Yes, but we'll leave you to that. We'll give you a chance with this short musical break. Yes, that was Muse with Supermassive Black Hole, which is a result of general relativity, which we've just been talking about here on Burst the Bubble.
I think everyone should be amazed at how joined up this show is.
Yeah.
Well, yes, we've got a couple more news stories to talk about in the last 5 minutes of the show. We've got the EU unveiling plans to pay fishermen to catch plastic.
Now, I think I've actually had training to do this.
Yeah. What?
Yes. Yeah. I when I was a small child, I actually had a training kit for this. It consisted of a cardboard box with a large amount of plastic fish in it with a magnet on the end. And I would dangle the thing in and I would pull out plastic. So presumably I've been trained to fish for plastic. I wouldn't know how to fish for fish, but I do know how to fish for plastic.
Some sort of undercover EU child conditioning thing.
Absolutely. So they have a massive workforce for it. They've been planning this for many, many years.
Since before the EU, I think, possibly.
I don't think I'm that old.
I don't know how old the EU is.
I'm fairly sure the EU is a lot older than I am.
But so hang on. Surely
thinking about the European Economic Community.
Surely that requires you to have magnets in your plastic.
Well, you see, this is the next EU rule that's going to come out. You see, they've laid the groundwork, and now all plastic must come with an embedded magnet.
That's true.
And we'll just issue all these fishermen with plastic fishing rods with a little magnet on the end.
Magnets.
And in fact, you get kids to do it as well. I mean, the kids love this sort of thing. I used to love it as a kid. And we'll just have a whole ocean to play with.
That'd be good. Good.
But apparently this is not assuage. Do I mean assuage?
If you finish the rest of the sentence, we can work out whether the object matches the verb.
Assuage the fishermen who were a bit upset about being told that they
appease?
Would be
appease.
Appease.
Appease. Appease.
Ameliorate.
Ameliorate their anger. There we go.
Unscare.
But yes, the fishermen have to throw back some fish because they don't want them, and if they didn't throw them back, it count against their quota. But sometimes these fish are dead when they throw them back, so they're just like wasting fish.
Yeah,
EU would rather they like caught plastic rather than catching fish that they're going to throw back.
Yeah, yes,
but now here.
Yes, yeah. You don't have to raise your hand, James. It's fine. You can just speak. I don't know if you've noticed how this is a little bit of a flat management hierarchy in this radio show.
This is true.
Also an audio medium, so no one could
hear my finger going up. Yes. Anyway, where was I?
Having established your right to speak,
yes.
Do so.
When you're fishing, there's not much control you have over the size of the fish that you bring in.
Yep.
And not massively experienced with fishing as I am, what I've seen on the television, they're all pretty much alive when you pull them in because they've just been in a net in the water and they're fine. So you do want to throw back all the small ones because they're not going to fetch much money. To take them out of the sea would deplete the stocks too much, and the small ones will then grow into bigger ones and make more fish. So telling people they're not allowed to throw the fish back seems to me very silly.
This article says usually dead. So I think this is where you and the article diverge.
Yes.
Okay, well, I suppose if it's only dead fish, then that's a bit more sensible.
Dead fish, yes.
But why are they fishing for plastic?
To clean up the sea.
Yeah.
It's very much sort of like Captain Planet. Do you remember Captain Planet?
Yes, I do remember Captain Planet. Yeah. By our powers combined and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, the problem I have with this, I can see the problem coming. So it's quite a good idea at the moment when there's lots of plastic in the sea. But at some point, the plastic stocks are going to deplete.
Yeah,
particularly if we stop throwing plastic back in the sea, right?
So you're going to have a plastic quota.
Well, yeah. You're going to have to have a plastic quota. And possibly, in the ultimate aim, we're going to have to start paying the farmers who we're currently paying to not grow any food to make plastic and throw it into the sea.
That's true.
So the fishermen have got something to pull out of the sea.
We have to safeguard the jobs.
In fact, we can't do that because the plastic will come from fossil fuels, which will be depleted. So we'll have to get the farmers to...
to
grow bio oil.
Right.
So which we can then make into bioplastic, which we can then throw into the sea, which fishermen can pull out.
Well, that's very short-term thinking. I think we just need to bury more large mammals.
That is the long-term solution, exactly. And possibly burn some forests and compact it down.
James, your nemesis is back on the email.
Oh, not again.
Is it Sonia again?
Yeah. Who also supposes that you might be able to consider M and N.
Yeah, they rhyme.
Too.
Yeah, M
but
and N.
But saying with those and the A, then that's only up to 35 or 36 out of a total of 325, which is still not a majority.
Well, we're not looking for a majority here. I mean, we're just looking for a sort of reasonable number.
I thought you said more, dude, than
that. I did claim a majority.
Did you actually claim a majority?
Claim a majority.
Oh, well, there we are. In which case, then I'm utterly with Sonia because disproving James wrong by the virtue of mathematics.
On the other hand, you could just take all the letters that have a rhyme and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. There were more than 13 letters that rhyme with another letter.
How about instead of looking for a majority amongst all letter pairs,
that was a foolish mistake I made.
Why don't you just wait from, like, say, 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock p.m. tomorrow to see what letter pairs turn up? And as long as you get 50% of those letter pairs, you should still win.
What?
Yeah, you know, he's making an election joke.
And then,
you see.
Oh, I see.
That was a little bit of intellectualness.
The big news, just because you can't use big news on this show. You throw me right off.
And on that note, we're going to have to finish.
Oh, no. Goodbye, everyone.
So thank you very much, Rich and James. I've been Michael Contario. You've been listening to Burst of All. Thank you and good night.